Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This town is a place of contradiction. Mm. It's one of, if not the town in the greater Rochester area that's getting the youngest the fastest. Yet, there is a community of lifers in this town that claims town's full. Mm. Okay. And they don't need any new people.
Well, they're getting squeezed.
Yes. And the test of how this town really feels will be in this new business opening up in a non-conventional way.
Oh.
Because this business is going to make a fortune.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It also has all the makings of getting older folks furious at all the people simply trying to make a purchase.
Can't wait to hear what's coming.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. We will jump right into it. There is an interesting new idea coming to Irondequoit.
What do they get?
Starbucks is opening a location on East Ridge near Culver.
Right.
Now, new Starbucks, not that crazy.
No, they're all over.
Yeah, they open up all the time. What's unique about this Starbucks, Tommy?
What are they serving?
It's a drive-through only, walk-up only Starbucks.
Oh.
There is no place for you to go inside.
So it's not a cafe inside.
Nope. You can either.
It's an old ice cream shop.
It's the old Abbott's.
Okay.
Custard stand.
So, yeah. So it's just it's literally just a stand.
So it's such a unique idea, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually taken some back and forth with the developers and the town of Irondequoit to make this work.
Yeah.
You see, not only can you drive to get your coffee, there will be a walk-up window.
Yeah.
And that will mostly service the 1,000 or so kids who go to nearby East Ridge High School.
Oh, yeah.
Can
Jerry
you,
kids.
Bro, can you imagine
no.
what that line is going to look like around 2:30 every
Tommies
day?
All the Tommies are going to be so upset.
It's yeah. Like you said, it's like printing money.
Yeah, this place is going to clean up.
Mm-hmm. What are you getting, your smoothie drinks? Why is this taking so long?
It's a milkshake. It's not a milkshake game.
$7.
And here's the thing. As much money as they're going to make, it also means there'll be a lot of kids walking up and down and around Ridge Road.
Hanging.
Meandering in the parking lot.
Running your mouth.
Enjoying their Grande Double Choco Pump Oreo Frappo.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention all the traffic that will come with folks trying to get in and get out in this drive-through only Starbucks.
So it's going to be what Chick-fil-A went through.
It kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. But Tommy,
yeah,
this feels like a moment in Irondequoit history.
Mm.
We know, based on home sales, that Irondequoit is getting younger fast.
It's called the changing of the guard.
Bingo. Couples in their 20s and 30s buying starter homes from lifers that were there into their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
However, there is still a large population of those old-timers that reside in the area.
Yeah, but it's got to be starting to really move quick.
Okay.
Like, I wonder how many Lazy Boy recliners are on the curb every week. Because, you know, that's the first thing that goes, Dad sat there for 40 years.
Well, he might have died in it.
And that's why it smells like
it. Tommy, these old timers, no matter how big they are, the big the population is, they're loud.
Oh, yeah.
And they seem to not like the changes that have been made. For example, last time someone tried something new in Irondequoit, this one being apartments with a coffee shop attached, we met a man named Joey Palladino. And he did not want this coffee shop slash apartments complex for several reasons. The first reason he gave during this news interview.
The town is full. We don't need any more people. Okay?
Town's full.
Town's full, okay. But, I mean, we're talking about a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You would think, Tommy, that Starbucks would be
successful. Old men love their coffee.
We love the coffee. Yeah. Well, it turns out, according to Joey, that's not how coffee works in Irondequoit.
In this neighborhood, the wives make the coffee for the husbands.
Right.
Okay?
The wives make the coffee for the husbands.
No need.
Okay. And here's the thing, man.
How is that not a t-shirt?
Somebody dropped the ball.
Are you kidding me?
The Irondequoit Chamber of Commerce dropped the ball. Yeah. But here's the thing, man. Yeah. Like, it's very rare that we talk about zoning issues in Irondequoit.
How can you make that funny?
Okay, but when this apartment complex, apartment area slash new coffee shop showed up, Mr. Palladino, who you just heard from, went to the meeting.
He don't mess.
No, and just speaking to him in the actual meeting wasn't enough, because it turns out that Mr. Palladino ended up sharing time in the men's room with this developer, and that's how this is how that went down.
In fact, I saw the fellow developer in the men's room at the town hall, and I told him, I said, save your money.
Save your money.
If this new Starbucks drive-through walk-up on East Ridge is successful, it officially means the younger set, the incoming in Irondequoit, has won.
Oh, yeah, that's the flag.
Right?
That is planting the flag on the hill, is the drive-up Starbucks only.
The change has been made.
Oh, yeah. It's
gone. Yeah, gone are the days of local coffee shops and diners full of old Italian men arguing with each other for hours in the morning, replaced with the fast service of milkshakes on a national chain.
It's not even coffee, Patrick.
But here's the thing. Tommy, there's no guarantee, even though this sounds like it's been approved, that this goes smoothly. Because even if it opens, let's not underestimate, Tommy, how powerful lifelong residents with an axe to grind and time on their hands and a vote to cast.
And I think they did have a meeting about this, or it's scheduled. I can't remember which of the two it is, but it is a to-do in town, figuring this whole thing out.
I mean, look, even if it opens up the way that they want it to, if this becomes a headache, do not underestimate how important those older set votes are to the folks that are running for office in Irondequoit.
Oh, that's true.
And how you have to keep those people happy and maybe make changes even after it opens. Kimmy, I'm sorry.
It's funny, though, because it's just, you would think that a small drive-through place that's replacing a building that's been empty wouldn't even be something, a controversial topic, you know?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Because this is more about than about a Starbucks. This is more than about the older set versus the younger set.
What is it?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this new business opening up on East Ridge Road in Irondequoit. It's at the site of the old walk-up Abbott's there. It's a Starbucks drive-through walk-up only. It's going to clean up.
Oh.
Not only with the drive-through, but with East Ridge High School being right around the corner.
Yes.
You'll have kids walking up all day. This seems like a moment where Irondequoit chooses what it wants to be for the future. And I know that it feels like eventually every town moves into something new.
Yeah, it has to.
But it's not always the case. You can use, actually, Pittsford versus Fairport. The village of Fairport has embraced all kinds of new ideas.
All the booze.
They have breweries, distilleries, bars, restaurants. They've opened. They have others dying to open. That led to other development in the area, and the place is popping.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know how the residents of Fairport feel about that as their town starts to change a little bit. But it's been pushing a new era.
Oh, yeah.
Where in Pittsford, the town, the village, they took the opposite approach. They limited what kind of businesses.
They shut stuff down.
Yeah, exactly.
Developments.
Yes. They had an idea of what they wanted their place to be. And they got to keep that quaint feel. But 20, 30 years from now, when you look at what Pittsford is versus Fairport is, does Pittsford's idea help them or does it hurt them?
I think in the end they lose.
You think so?
Yeah.
This is coming from a Pittsford squatter.
Yes. Yeah. But to your point, it's progress. They're eventually going to lose.
You think eventually Pittsford loses?
Yeah. Yeah, because the younger set, it's going to, that old money stodgy podgies are going to croak. Then the kids are going to cash out and want a party. It's just the way
and
it works.
And what a party. No. Or they have different things they want to spend their money on.
No, but the old set does. But the kids with the money, like the old people that made that money, that have those homes,
okay,
are gonna go to cash heaven. And they ain't taking it with them. And I think the kids are going to want something different. And their grandkids.
I think you're underestimating how powerful lame-ass opinions can be on the next generation. Because, like, around
the ones that are going to take the time to fight it, right? Is that what you're saying?
I guess, like, the kids could also see what their parents make the argument is. Well, yes, it's fine to go over there and have our fun. But in Pittsburgh, we're cut from a little bit of a different cloth. Except when the PGA comes, in which case, do whatever you want.
So I always think, like, those rich families, there's going to be that generation of F-ups that are just going to go have fun with that money.
Okay.
And I think they're on the verge of it now.
Why hasn't it happened yet?
Because it's coming.
No, because it hasn't happened yet, Kimmy, because it's coming.
It's right on the edge.
Right there.
You know I'm right, bro.
I think you're wrong. I think that...
It always happens.
I think the idea of what Pittsburgh is has been so blasted into the minds of these kids.
That's what every rich family said all their lives, and then the kids go and have fun with it.
Okay. Yeah, they can go and have fun with it in another town. I guess like around...
So you think it's going to stay that way?
I do. I do believe it'll stay that way. I think that these kids will eventually want to keep what they're... You know, when I was a child, it was nice to be able to walk to school and not worry about some kind of bar influencing my 10-year-old. Right. I do. I think they want it
the way it was. Every generation wants it the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, like, nostalgia is the most powerful thing in the world. It impedes progress, but it's the most powerful thing in the world.
Mm. Yeah, But there may be things that are added to it, though, that they also like the convenience of, I guess.
Possibly. Look, I'm not saying you guys are wrong.
Well, the one town I'm thinking of is that town you get dragged to, Skinny Atlas.
Skinny Atlas, yeah.
Skinny Atlas seems like they've held true to that old school, because it's tourism.
Sure.
Pittsburgh doesn't have that. Nobody goes to Pittsburgh for that. I mean, people go down to that area of... My wife loves it. Your wife loves it.
Yeah,
picturesque. I don't think Pittsburgh has that.
Okay,
I think they get crushed in 20 years.
Understood.
I'm just seeing like oil change places and strip joints, prostitution, meth labs. It's going to be a hellscape.
By the way, we haven't had a new strip joint open up in like 20 years.
That is a shame.
I'm not saying it's a shame. I'm just saying it's odd.
No, but these poor girls need to work.
Are we not going to strip clubs anymore?
Well, you said that the younger generation isn't cool.
No, I didn't say
that. They're not cool, I think.
They're not having sex. They're not drinking. What are you going to strip club for?
Well, you're not having
the
sex.
The salad bar?
Do they have those?
They had a lunch special. Mirage had a really good lunch.
If we bring this back to Irondequoit, right, and the idea that Pittsburgh is holding on to its heritage by not
the old school
moving things in.
Mm.
If this Starbucks, drive-through Starbucks, the flag planted, as you put it, changes what Irondequoit is, you are losing something. Because for as long as I've been alive, Irondequoit has been this really interesting mix of Eastern European, Italian, and Latino culture.
Yeah.
Right? You see it in the restaurants, you see it in the mom and pop shops, you see it in the festivals.
Sure.
But new people coming in and the fabric of the town changing costs you some of that culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now, it's funny. We always said that Pittsburgh is a town that has no culture, which I still believe. Like, Pittsburgh just stuck in the mud because they want to look better than everybody else. Right? But, like... You know, as every generation moves forward and people from out of town start buying homes because they're affordable there, you know, that Eastern European influence, that Italian influence, that Latino influence goes away.
Yeah.
Is that good in the name of progress? Or is it bad because we're losing that history that made that town specifically so interesting and unique?
Yeah, but I mean, those people squeezed out other people. Like when the Italians and the Ukrainians came, they were pushing other people out there.
Everybody you're saying it's constantly shifting.
You're right. You
know? They changed the town, right?
You're right.
I mean, it's just how life works.
It's just
I mean, it's not the end of the world.
I'm not saying it's the end of the world. It is just weird to think. Mm. Like, I think it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized one of my favorite parts about Rochester, growing up in the greater Rochester area, was the cultural influences in the different towns and how it was really like a little UN where you could travel from town to town to town and get all these things that you couldn't get in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only a generation away from maybe losing that entirely. And you're right. You're right. Eventually people get pushed out and things change and it's probably...
And they become obsolete.
And it's
people don't want it.
And it's probably good that we're not all living separately from each other in our own neighborhoods anymore. But...
Because then people would get like territorial over things. And...
Yeah, not like now. Okay.
but that's what I mean. Like, you want people to feel welcome to move to different areas,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. No, I look around. I look at people welcoming everybody.
Otherwise, everybody just lives there, dies, and then nobody takes over. You know what I mean? Then you see stuff start to shut down instead of open.
No, but what you're describing is what half of this audience wants. Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll be this way when I was born. It'll be this way when I died. I'll be wearing the same boots I was born in. That's what I had in a small town. No, I don't know. Look, you're right. Everything you said is right. People push other people out.
Right.
Eventually, things change
comes,
and there's this fusion of things, right? But
and
I don't
that's
know.
The way the new these kids should have their own thing.
Where am I going to go get stuffed cabbage?
You don't need stuffed cabbage.
I need stuffed cabbage.
Make it at home. Get your wife to make it.
Wow.
After she makes the coffee. Okay? Go stuff your own cabbage.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are plenty of little towns and villages that have weird-ass festivals that only make sense to the people that live
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And most of the time, like Kimmy said, those festivals have roots that go back like a century.
Yeah.
Some history to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This weird one, however, is different because who the hell would want to do this, period?
Would they just make it up?
Kind of seems like it, because why did they decide to just start this up now?
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We're going to need someone from Geneva to call our show and explain what the hell all y'all are doing out there.
So they got a new, they have a new tradition. It's old ass.
Well, it is a new tradition. No, it's brand new.
On
Saturday,
okay.
The city hosted a brand new festival.
Oh.
It is billed as the world's first ever chili sniffing festival.
Chili sniffing?
Like bowl of chili.
Okay. Yeah.
Like you're sniffing a bowl of chili.
Okay. Like a chili cook-off.
No. It's not that.
You don't eat the chili.
It is not called a chili tasting festival.
What?
It is not called
that
a chili.
That seems just like a huge tea. Why don't they
so
just call the world's biggest
the
teas festival?
I am telling you what I have in front of me.
That doesn't sound fun.
Okay. They held their first annual chili sniffing festival. Anybody in the room or listening, 252 WCMF, want to take a crack as to why this exists?
It doesn't sound satisfying.
Is it chili as in the dish?
Yes.
Or is it
bowl of chili
like a chili pepper?
Nope. It's a bowl of chili.
Okay.
And you sniff it.
It's a chili sniffing festival. What are we missing about the city of Geneva?
Chili, apparently.
Well, no, because like if you had a chili cook-off festival,
you would get to ingest some chili.
Yeah. Why? Are you sniffing bowls of chili in celebration in the city of Geneva?
And I don't think of that town as like, they got some good chili.
Never had Geneva chili.
Unless there's something we're unaware of.
What are we missing? 252 WCMF. And even if you had great chili, you're not going to sell it sniffing it, right? I've never gone to Wegmans and gone to the guy and been like, give me your best smelling chili.
I don't think it pairs well with wine, right? Like, it's kind of wine country, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't have been popular.
I don't know. I mean, it was a news story.
I mean, I would go check it out.
You would go to the chili sniffing festival?
Not if it was like around the corner from my house, I'd be curious. Like, how does this work?
Do
you actually get to eat chili? How do they judge this?
Also, if I got a stuffed nose, festival out the window.
Yeah, a lot of people have colds right now on top of that.
Like, worst time of year for an anything sniffing festival.
Yeah. Except your mom.
Could have done without that.
Me too.
Is there something agriculturally about that area that we're missing?
Chili farming? Mm.
Is there
Well, the chili harvest is in, folks.
Do they grow chilies in Geneva?
Peppers?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess you can grow them anywhere.
Is there a place of business known for, like, their spices that accompany the chili?
Ah.
Is there a restaurant that did, like, amazing chili back in the day? Like, Ben's Chili Bowl in D.C.? It's famous for that, right? Like, I don't get any of it, and no one has been able to help me out as to why Geneva just wants you to smell their chili.
Well, they had ideas.
You could come up with a better idea.
Or you could have just done a chili cook-off, to your point.
Thank you.
I mean,
we couldn't afford a whole bunch of chili.
We got one bowl. We're going to pass it around and sniff it.
We're all going to smell the town bowl. Pass it around slow, kids. Everybody gets one sniff.
Yeah, I can't find any connection to chili here.
Okay, so here's the best part of the story. Right. Are you ready for this?
This is like something your father would pull.
Chili sniffing?
He would take you to a chili cook-off, and he would just let you smell the chili, and then he would eat the bowl in front of you and go home.
The last stuffy first annual chili sniffing.
Pass the bowl around for your children.
So we told you a second ago, this is the first annual Chili
Maybe
Stiffing
the
Festival.
Only annual.
Well, this was actually supposed to be the third annual
what happened?
Chili Stiffing Festival. It was delayed for 2 years,
for
and
what?
We're not making this up, because someone sent an anonymous complaint in Geneva to the State Department of Health.
Oh.
Yep.
They delayed it by 2 years because someone secretly complained about the Geneva Chili Sniffing Festival.
So it only took one complaint?
So according to this, they are calling it the first chili sniffing contest to sidestep the food safety rules. So because an anonymous health department complaint turned Geneva's annual Small Business Saturday chili contest into a sniff-only event.
Wait a minute. So it was supposed to be serving chili.
Yes.
But because they were non-restaurant serving chili,
yes,
it was a health violation. So now I only get to smell the chili?
That's according to FingerLicks.com.
Why don't you just cancel it?
Thank you! Bail on the chili!
Yes.
So
also,
yeah, I guess you can't eat the chili for food safety reasons.
But other places have chili cook-offs.
Well, they must have to get permits or something?
Well, yeah.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It doesn't seem like they really thought it through.
Well, no, but they had 2 years to think it through when somebody complained about it. And their idea was go and smell the chili?
So
what are we missing?
What was,
is it because
the
they're all
concern?
Because they're the chili is made in home kitchens.
Okay, that I understand.
So that's where the safety issue comes into play.
But hold on, like when you go to like those like where people like cook brownies and cookies for like charities and stuff. They cook them in their house and then they sell them for charity.
I guess if somebody made a complaint to the health department, maybe they'd shut it down.
Oh, you find one thumb, you're going to lose your mind.
I don't want a whole thumb. I'll take a fingernail, maybe a hair. Oh, yeah, well, I would complain about a thumb.
One thumb floating in your chili ain't going to ruin it.
What, are the guy standing there with four fingers?
You never had thumb chili?
Is it good?
Oh, it's real good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got into the game a little while ago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You opened up a small business.
Yes, I did. But, you know, it was Small Business Saturday, and I thought I'd jump into the game.
Where can I find this thumb chili you prepared?
Well, I opened up a little kiosk in the men's room.
What's it called?
It's called Uncle Tommy's Old Time Thumb Chili from My Thumb to Your Bum. Sauce.
Not only does it sound uncomfortable because of the sodomy, it would probably burn on account of the chili. Oh,
my chili burns twice.
252 WCMF, 252-9263. We are discovering why Geneva held their first annual chili sniffing festival.
I guess you
over
run
weekend.
With it now, right?
But why? There's 1,000 other things
what
you could
a disappointment.
Have done.
So I wonder then how they vet the judges, like how they know somebody has a better
schnoz?
Sense of smell than somebody else.
Like if you have a big nose, do you have an advantage?
There are people who use their noses for a living. Sommeliers, wine experts. They
perfume
probably,
people, yeah.
Those people. And then there's also people that get paid to test out deodorants. Do you know this?
Yes.
They jam their face into people who work out armpits after putting on the deodorant to see if it works.
Test it out.
That's a legitimate job.
But I'm guessing in Geneva.
Well, no, hold on.
I don't
Geneva,
think they got no expert like that.
Geneva's wine country.
Yeah.
So there may be a couple of sommeliers out there who's nose, sense of smell, and sense of taste are like superior.
Okay, all right. But that would be for wine.
Well,
does it work for everything?
I'm sure it also works for if you have a superior sense of smell.
All right.
Because they train for that.
But they usually have a bigger schnoz.
But that's not true,
bro. Every one of those, every one of those guys got a hook.
Also, women. You can also be a female.
Women got big schnoz too. They got the big lady hook.
They're coming up with the big schnoz.
We know some bros with some big blowers, bro.
What about the clipper though?
Tight clipper, nice wheels, big floor.
How's the thrower, though? You're telling me about the thrower.
The thrower's up.
It was well until she went to that thumb chili kiosk. Now it burns a little bit. You know what's funny, though? Like, if there was one food you could do a festival for in any town in America, it's chili.
Yeah, it works.
Everyone thinks they do a really good chili.
And people love chili.
But, like, here's the thing, though. It doesn't make your town unique.
No.
I don't get why, like, of all the foods you could have went with, you went with chili. And, like,
yeah,
I mean, Kimmy brought up wine. I know that maybe they're played out with the wine.
Yeah, it could just be trying to do something different in the area that they, you know, haven't, that they're already, yeah, to your point, everybody already knows
but
that's
wine,
going on.
You got apples, you got corn.
Grapes?
Grapes.
Mm.
Right? Although Geneva is a weird spot, like location-wise.
Yeah.
It's too far east to be thought of as a wing spot. It's too far west to be known for like Utica greens or salt potatoes.
Yeah.
It's a community without a food identity.
Oh, all right.
Unless there is some food Geneva's known for that we're missing that they could be sniffing instead of chili.
Oh.
right? I don't know. You would think wine would be doing all the heavy lifting for a place like Geneva. Why make things more complicated?
Because you didn't think it through.
But just don't do it.
You had dirty chili, and the steak caught you.
So yeah.
Dirty Chili sounds like a band that's playing at Three Heads this weekend.
They probably are.
Jeff Dale, bassist for Dirty Chili.
So Geneva is actually known as the lake trout capital of the world.
That sounds like a dirty thing.
No, they should
because of its excellent fishing.
Come smell our trout.
They have the National Lake Trout Derby.
Trout sniffing.
Wait, your mom wins every year. Pew! Oh, I don't even have to go to Geneva. I smelled her from here. Hey, Kimmy.
Yeah.
Tommy's mom, she came to me one day.
Yeah.
She said, I want you to kiss me where it stinks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I took her out. I forgot the name of the town. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is this. Can you eat the trout out of that lake?
Why not?
Well, because we did that story where, like, the state recommends only eating X amount of fish from certain lakes in the area because of all the potential pollutants?
Oh. Yes. That's true.
Oh, right. That thing.
Well, just sniff your trout first. Make sure it smells good.
Trout sniffer?
Yeah, it says it's safe for most people to eat lake trout caught in the Finger Lakes. So.
Okay, so why not a trout festival?
Oh, this
They do have a trout. They have the National Lake Trout Derby.
No, but that's not
held on Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, I guess it's not really trout.
I guess you could have, like, how you prepare the trout. You have a contest.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do it now, though. And also, if I own a boutique shop, I don't want my shop smelling like trout.
Everybody walk around with fish breath?
Why? You were hanging out with your mom? Everybody was? Did she eat you last night? Pew! Hoo-hoo! Hoo-hoo! Time for next week's mouthwash festival.
Oh, God, my Chester.
It's good. I hope you're dying. Let's take a break. For your last day to eat your Thanksgiving leftovers.
Oh, the trots.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says that things like turkey stuffing, potatoes, sweet potatoes, green beans, gravy, and pumpkin pie can all be safely stored in the fridge for 3 to 4 days. So today is the cutoff.
But it's going to be so goddamn dry. That's the other thing.
You just got to know how to do it right.
But turkey dries out.
That's why you have the gravy.
You get that slimy-ass gravy.
You mix it all up again.
But that doesn't make the meat tender just dumping sauce on it.
Yes, it does. You got to put more gravy on there.
See, because you're so goddamn raised poor.
So goddamn raised poor.
Yeah.
No, man. I've been making turkey sandwiches for like the last 4 days. It's been amazing. Man, I stacked yesterday. White meat, dark meat. More dark meat than white meat, obviously.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get what I'm saying. Stuffing, cranberry sauce. I put yams on top of that. It was amazing.
That was one sandwich?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It was awesome.
I'm not big on, I mean, you save like the cranberry sauce and all that too.
Can I say?
Like, I know there are like the standards that you save, like
that
the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, whatever. I don't save like the little, like the cranberry and stuff.
So my wife made way too much of everything.
Yeah.
No, that's everybody. Yeah.
But my wife specifically only knows how to cook for like the North Korean army. Yeah. Like, it is just always too much food. My wife made her own cranberry sauce.
By the way, with that army, no leftovers. People are hurting.
My wife made her own cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And she added brandy and Cointreau. Is that it?
Damn.
Cointreau? Yes. So it's like an orange liqueur.
Yeah.
So she doesn't go straight canned stuff. She's doing homemade cranberry. Yeah.
So she goes, oh, the alcohol cooks off, right? I put some on my turkey the other day. Yeah. And it was
drunk?
It was like I took a shot. I could taste the alcohol. And I'm like, honey, for God's sakes.
You're copping a buzz?
Yeah, well, I didn't get drunk. I'm a large man, but I'm begging, like, don't put this on your sandwich. Yeah, thank God the kids didn't eat the cranberry sauce. She's like, no, it's fine. Yeah, she's drinking it out of shot glasses. No, man, like, tomorrow will be a depressing day because she also made me healthy food with the Thanksgiving.
Oh, your little bitch plate?
Oh, I'm sorry, are collard greens bitch food?
Well, it's health food, isn't it? Because you didn't eat traditional collards.
Yes, yeah. I did.
Oh, so there was ham hock?
Oh, yeah, there was.
You lie.
She made the Brussels sprouts with bacon, but I picked out all the meaty parts, and I just ate the green stuff.
You pick around the pig?
I did. But, yeah, man, it's been 2 meals a day nonstop since Thanksgiving.
I couldn't wait to get – so I got into a – I wanted to throw everything out Saturday morning because it was trash day. And my wife says, well, no, because the kids are still here. We ended up throwing it out Sunday.
Oh, no. It's going to sit in your garbage can. Drink your garbage can nice with blue.
I like everything out.
Yeah, but, like, what if, like, you know, you're craving, like, a little snack after dinner? You're like, you know what? I'm going to grab some of the turkey out of here.
What's he gonna
eat? You don't have to finish all of them, but I do like to have them as an option.
Look who's talking over here. Because, you know, she's going to
I live in a leftover desert. We do not have leftovers.
Your husband lives in a chest desert.
Wow. What? Unnecessary.
What?
Wow. Too high.
Not really.
I live in a home you would like to live in, and it's not fun. Maybe we should swap.
Did you
wife swap?
He would actually agree to that. Ooh, your beefy Listen, husband.
Get a lot of boobs there.
Did you have leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner?
No,
none? You had
disappointed.
None? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I
brought them home.
No, because like I said, even if we had a ton, they'd be gone the next day anyways. My husband just, they don't last in my house.
But when something doesn't taste right, though, because it's old, I'm out.
No, but that it's in your head.
Yeah, you just make it a different way. Like I said, you might not eat turkey the same way you had it before with the gravy and stuff, but you can make a mean sandwich.
I had a mac and cheese turkey sandwich the other day.
That does sound good.
Oh, buddy.
Stack it.
I got to tell you, man. You know, we talk about the culture influence of food here in the Greater Rochester area all the time, how you get this great fusion, different towns have different authentic restaurants. I don't know how I lived until I got Black Thanksgiving, because Black Thanksgiving is the greatest Thanksgiving ever.
Because you get all the soul food.
Bro, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And, like, I'm almost upset with my parents that they didn't know about Black Thanksgiving to expose me to Black Thanksgiving before I got Black Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, you know.
No, I get it. Irish people, fine. Understood.
A little standoffish.
But, like, with Indian food,
yeah.
Soul food, what else am I into? Thai food recently, right? Like, I wasted years of my life not getting this stuff in my belly.
Yeah, but would they have made it the right way anyways?
No. Probably not, but the fact of the matter
I don't
is.
They think stovetop stuffing for soul food.
Stovetop collars. No, it's delicious.
Oh, right.
I love how he changed his tune on the leftovers all of a sudden, didn't he?
Well, I don't get soul food.
Oh, no. I got leftovers. You want some?
You didn't bring them in.
I'll bring them in tomorrow.
He won't eat them because they're bad now.
Oh, you don't want Black Thanksgiving?
I do.
Why don't you want Black Thanksgiving?
I do.
Oh, you want Black
Thanksgiving? I just don't want leftover Black Thanksgiving.
Oh, too good for you. Leftover Black Thanksgiving.
I don't want dry soul food.
Collards are still good.
Collards are mean.
I'm going to eat them when I get home.
Man, they're tasty.
252 WCMF. Today is your last day, according to the USDA, to eat your leftovers for that Thanksgiving before they go bad. They say for 3 or 4 days, as long as they're refrigerated, they will be fine. But after that, it might make you sick. My wife made turkey soup last night with the carcass left over, too. Mm. Navy beans. It was very my grandpa.
What, with the navy beans?
That's
old man beans.
So good. It is old man bean. But it's a sturdy bean.
That's why it stuck out. It saved this country in the Depression.
Man.
I'm also sick of turkey.
Really?
Yeah, like if I had turkey, I don't want turkey goddamn soup.
But it's
sandwiches.
It tastes different.
Yeah, you can make it good.
But turkey's got that taste. I like turkey, but it's got that taste.
No, look, it's such a spoiled-ass rich kid take. Mm. Everything you were saying is such as, I don't like it. I had it yesterday, so I don't want it again.
I did.
I don't like it. Call the butler and tell him to make me something new. I got turkey stuck in my nose.
He also eats very base because you're a healthy eater.
That's right.
So probably all those sides are out. Do you eat mashed potatoes?
I had a little taste. A little.
You're
little
taste. Such a bitch.
I had a little that. I had a little this. A little taste.
I had a biscuit.
Sample?
Wow.
No butter. No butter.
I can tell because your boobs are a little bit larger than normal. Carbs went right to your chest. I will bring you in some turkey soup tomorrow.
I don't want your hand-me-down soup.
It's delicious. You think my wife doesn't make good turkey soup? So you don't want it?
I would love it, but I'm sick of turkey.
So you don't want my wife's turkey soup that she made from scratch, from the carcass with navy beans?
I'm sure she makes a delicious one.
But you don't want it.
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
But thank you for the offer.
No, it's fine. Let me just text my wife real quick. Hey, honey, Tommy says he doesn't want your hand-me-down leftover Black Thanksgiving soup.
Put that on a can and
sell it. I'd buy it. You know, it's the other funny thing, too, is the world is a very different place than it was 50 years ago.
Oh, sure.
Where, like, every wife, mother, grandmother was expected to know how to whip something up immediately, right? And it seems, Kimmy, our generation was the generation that lost that, like, cook from home ability. Whereas, like, the younger generation, I don't know if it was COVID, I don't know if it was something that interested them, they're starting to come back around and doing it again.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like my grandpa, but being married to a woman that can cook is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, sure.
Because my mother could not cook. I love you, Mom. I'm sorry. She could not cook. She would tell you that. So I never even had this. It makes me so happy.
It did kind of skip a generation.
It's weird, right?
Because I've had three wives, and the first two could not cook. But I told you, I married a Sicilian girl who parents came off the boat that did not know how to make, how to boil pasta. I'm not making that up.
How's that possible?
Thank you. She goes, well, I've never done it. I go, but you passed through the kitchen when your mother was doing it. You didn't look over your shoulder just to see how it was done?
All right. Could also be that generation that was so particular about the way things were done. They didn't want anybody to help.
Yeah, that's a cop out. You could still learn.
No, she's right.
No, I'm serious. Like, if you get in there and you're not doing it the right way, they give you the boot.
No, she's right. She's
They're like, get out of the way. Get out of my kitchen.
Right.
Because there's a recipe that's going to die with my mother. And like, only she kind of knows how to do it.
You said your mother's cooking sucks.
My grandmother passed down this potato dumpling recipe that's almost impossible to screw up. But, like, there's a couple of little things in there that my mom's not entirely sure about. And when I don't know how to make them.
You could ask her.
No, I have, and she's, like, not entirely sure.
Oh.
Kind of just wings it every time.
Okay.
Which goes back to the first point. Ma can't cook.